In today's gospel reading, we are presented with a paralyzed man who is waiting for God to heal him. He's waiting for an opportunity to be healed. There was in Jerusalem a pool called Bethesda. It had apparently five porches, which John mentions, calls out. And there was a disturbance in the water that appeared occasionally. And if people were able to get into the pool before this disturbance of the water passed, the first person who got into the pool was generally healed of their disease. So this person had been waiting for this phenomenon and had presumably seen this phenomenon many times over because he'd been waiting there for 38 years. A fairly long time to be waiting for healing. And Jesus comes up to him and asks him a simple question. Do you want to get well? He's been there a long time. And the man gives a pretty straightforward answer. Every time I try and get there, I can't. My legs don't cooperate. Somebody else gets into the pool before me. I'm dragging myself towards the pool. And so I've never been able to get well. And Jesus says to him simply, take your mat and walk. And he does. Now, I want to digress here a little bit from the gospel reading as it's being presented to us and put it a little bit more in the context of the Old Testament and of water. It's been noted that John singles out this detail. There's five porticos and this pool. And John, in his gospel, doesn't do anything without a reason. And a number of people have said that the reason John singles out these five porches or porticos in the pool is because he sees this as representative of the Old Testament. There were five books of Moses, five books in the Pentateuch, and the old typified the Old Covenant. And if you look at the Old Testament, you look at the history of the people of God, what you see there is kind of like what you see in the pool. Every now and then, there's a disturbance. Every now and then, God comes in and intervenes. Every now and then, the angel of the Lord appears. And something miraculous happens. There's healing. There is victory. And then everything kind of goes back to normal. And people are just kind of waiting around for God to appear. As I said, I want to talk about the Old Testament, about water. I've kind of got water on the brain right now, not because I have hydrocephaly, but because as some of you know, we've just bought a plot of land out in Mission. And one of the great things about this plot of land was that it came with a well. So nice 80-foot well, never ran dry, and went out there last week to check on the property just before we took possession. Everything was in order, the well was great, turned on the hose, the water came out. This is gonna be good. There's no house there, we do have to build a house, so this is gonna be a big project, but at least we've got water. Took possession of the land on Friday, went up to see it, and there was no water in the hose. Trace it back to the the well and look at the well, and somebody, this is like my welcome to Miracle Valley moment, somebody has cut the power that connected the power lines to the pump, turned it off first, so they were very careful and methodical, pulled the pump out of the 80-foot well, left the pipes just lying there on the ground, and now we have a well, but no water. So, this is life in an imperfect world. But it changed how, like, it kind of instantly changed how I felt about the land. I was going there, and it was going to be, you know, this is going to be the new home. This is going to be where I can live because I have a nice water supply. And now all of a sudden, I have to phone my son. Actually, I have to walk down the road so I could get to a spot where I could just kind of go like this and get cell phone reception and phone my son to please bring a large container of water so that we can basically have act like we're camping, right? It's a more temporary thing. So you know, we'll get it sorted out. But it was just a moment there that kind of revealed to me just how important water is. And as I was thinking about this and reading this, you know, preparing for this sermon, reading through the Gospel of John, I realized John also has water on the brain. If you read the Gospel of John, which I always recommend, it's my favorite gospel. So he begins with John the Baptist, who is baptizing with water, and who says when he sees Jesus that here's one who is going to baptize you not just with water, but with the Spirit. In John chapter 2, we have the water turned into wine at the wedding of Cana. In John chapter 3, we have Nicodemus who comes to visit Jesus by night. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. John chapter 4, we have the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus talks to her about living water. He asks her for a drink. She says, I don't she says, you know, why are you asking me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And he says, if you knew the one who was talking to you, you would have asked him, and he would have given you a drink of living water. And then we get to John chapter 5, and this is the gospel reading for today. The man at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 6, Jesus is walking on the water. And it all kind of seems to be leading up to John chapter 7, where Jesus goes to the Feast of Tabernacles, that feast that celebrated and commemorated the children of Israel wandering through the desert. Commemorated that very sort of experience where God would where they were wandering about, and God would periodically intervene and do something miraculous and save them. I was like, oh, okay, we're really hungry. Great, here's some manna. We're really thirsty. Okay, here's water from the rock. And at the middle and the last and the sorry, not the middle, the last and the great day of the feast, Jesus stands up, and we'll actually read this in church pretty shortly at Pentecost, which the fathers say is probably the feast that Jesus was at when he healed the paralytic. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow streams of living water. I think this reveals the difference between that old covenant, which God initiated with his people, with Abraham and with Moses, and the new covenant that is initiated and revealed in Jesus Christ. Because what we see in Jesus and in his followers is something new. It's not just intermittent water that you've lugged to a campsite. It is a continual source of healing, a continual source of life. It is streams of living water. Look at the epistle reading that we just heard. Peter is in Joppa. He hears about Aeneas, who's a believer, who's been paralyzed for 8 years, and he tells him to get up. And he gets up. They hear about this in Lydda, and they send word to him immediately because Dorcas, who has been like a pillar of the followers of Jesus Christ, the church community there, she's just died. And when Peter arrives, they're weeping and they're showing her all the stuff that Lydda has done that Tabitha has done for them, all the clothes that she made for them. She just was this sort of person who would give of herself, give whatever she had, give to people whatever they needed. And Peter goes in and he heals her. He not just heals her, she's dead. He raises her from the dead. Now, these are also, admittedly, exceptional circumstances, but the difference is, I would say, the difference between this periodic presence of God and the continual presence of God. We are all like the paralytic. We are all living lives of quiet desperation. Sometimes not so quiet. Paul describes our situation in Romans chapter 7 when he talks about that which I will to do, that which I want to do, I don't do it. And that which I really don't want to do, that's exactly what I end up doing. This is our experience as human beings, that when we want to do good, evil is right there with us. We're helpless. And Paul expresses this helplessness when he says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" The end of the chapter. And he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Jesus is the one who delivers us from this body of death. Jesus is the one who delivers us from this state of utter paralysis, utter helplessness. And he is always there. The paralytic is lying at the pool of Bethesda in an agony of frustration. He answered Jesus honestly. He just looked up. Stranger comes by and asks him, "Do you want to get well?" "Of course I want to get well. That's why I'm here. But I can't. Can't do anything myself." He doesn't even know that Jesus is somebody who he could ask. But just that moment of turning to him, in that moment, Jesus says to him, "Take up your bed. Get up." And he does. And this is the new revelation that comes to us in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, that he is with us, that the Spirit of God is with us, that this healing power of God is continually and always with us. We just have to do two things. Maybe three. It's orthodoxy, so. One, acknowledge our problem. And as a part of that, acknowledge that it is a problem and that we want out, we want a solution, we want to get well. Or if we can't even muster the desire to get well, we at least want to. Two, turn to Jesus. He's there. But we have to turn to him. We have to be willing to pray. That can be hard. We're struggling. We're angry. Often we're angry at God because we're struggling. Or we're angry at ourselves because we're struggling. It's like, lay aside the anger. It's irrelevant. Doesn't help. Just pray. Just turn to the one who is there. Tell him your problem. Tell him how helpless you are. Just like the paralytic did. Tell him your frustration. But tell him. Turn to him. Acknowledge his presence. And then as you do that, do whatever he tells you to do. Do what you know is right. And he will heal you. Because we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit within us. And out of us, individually and possibly more importantly, collectively, flow streams of living water. What we see in the church is this active presence where Peter is amongst the believers and tells Aeneas to get up and tells Tabitha to get up. And that's exactly what we need to do with one another. As we have the opportunity, we need to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We need to tell one another to get up. Because God is with us. We talk about the church being a hospital. Because we're all sick. We are all in desperate need of healing. But we talk about it also as a hospital because Christ is in our midst. Christ is among us. He's in each and every one of us. At work in our hearts, at work touching our hearts to help one another, to reach out to one another, so that these streams of living water that continually flow out from his Spirit may heal us and may heal all those around us. That is what he came to reveal. He came to reveal the power and the goodness and the love of God that has not abandoned us, that is always with us. That we, in turning to him, may receive the life-giving water of healing that flows from the Spirit, that flows in and through and out of us, for the healing of our souls and the healing of the whole world. Through the glory of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.